the Public News Service Daily Newscast, August the 10th, 2023. I'm Mike Clifford. The next presidential election, still about 15 months away, but New Mexico election officials are absorbing the latest details about a fake elector scheme from 4 years ago. It involved the Land of Enchantment.
New Mexico is one of seven battleground states where former President Donald Trump and his Republican allies are accused of trying to persuade state officials to illegally swing the election in his favor. David Becker with the Center for Election Innovation and Research says as the next contest approaches, election workers still face fallout from 3 years ago.
They are still dealing with this stuff. They are still suffering. They are still being harassed. They are still being attacked. That's the state we're in now, in early August, 15 months before a presidential election.
New Mexico's five fake electors have yet to be charged with any crimes related to their interference. I'm Roz Brown.
In 2020, Trump and his legal team filed a lawsuit in U.S. District Court in New Mexico. They claim the state broke the law when it allowed drop boxes to be part of the voting process. Now from the Associated Press, a wildfire tore through the heart of the Hawaiian island of Maui in total darkness on Wednesday, reducing much of a historic town to ash and forcing people to jump into the ocean to flee the flames. At least six people died and dozens were wounded. The acting governor urged travelers to stay away. This is not a safe place to be, she said. The AP reports the wind-driven wildfire swept into coastal Lahaina with alarming speed and ferocity, blazing through intersections and leaping across wooden buildings in the town center. Meantime, business leaders in the state of Maine are working to raise awareness of the growing number of climate change-related job opportunities.
The state's recent approval of a new offshore wind energy industry and growing solar industry will require a steady pipeline of STEM-trained workers, but not necessarily those with a four-year college degree. Philip Jordan with BW Partnership says Mainers would benefit from educational opportunities that highlight the certifications and skills required for the growing green energy sector.
We're not talking, you know, that everybody needs to know calculus, but you need to be pretty proficient in algebra in order to really have most jobs that are related to this climate transition.
Jordan says despite increased federal funding to build the green economy and the high-wage jobs it provides, many young workers lack the STEM proficiency to be considered for union and apprenticeship programs. I'm Catherine Carley reporting.
Maine has set an ambitious climate goal of reaching net zero emissions by 2045. Employers say the state's workforce shortage could hinder that plan. This is Public News Service. Democratic Nevada Senator Catherine Cortez Masto recently met with reproductive rights advocates to discuss the need to ensure all Nevada women have access to birth control without a prescription. More on the story from our Alex Gonzalez.
In July, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved the first birth control pill, which is set to be made available over-the-counter in early 2024. The price for the drug has yet to be released. Cortez Masto emphasized the need for her reintroduced Affordability is Access Act, which would ensure women have affordable access to over-the-counter birth control without a prescription.
And this is the introduction, the legislation I've introduced, is to make it sure it is affordable. So to ensure that our insurance companies keep the costs low. Just like on the Affordable Care Act marketplace, we want to ensure that women can access contraception over-the-counter and it's affordable for them.
Cortez Masto says the biggest barrier for many is cost. She adds she's proud that Nevada has remained a pro-choice state and realizes many women are coming to Nevada in search of reproductive health care services.
And this week is National Health Center Week. These facilities help close gaps in underserved communities. Leaders hope recruiting efforts and pleas for federal funding pay off as they try to meet demand.
Last year, community health centers served a record 31.5 million patients in places such as rural areas, communities of color, and tribal areas. Shelley Ten Naple with the Community Healthcare Association of the Dakotas says, like other sectors, they face pressure in finding enough staff members to keep centers operating.
The resources are there, the desire's there, the need's there. It's just the challenge of recruiting folks.
Her organization hopes to expand outreach to convince more people to enter these fields. I'm Mike Moen.
While federal funding is a concern, North Dakota this year did approve $2 million in new funding for health centers. Finally, Mark Moran lets us know the Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Department is coming up with a new wolf management plan, but there is disagreement over how the animals are being counted.
Montana Fish and Wildlife says hunters and trappers took 248 wolves in the state last year, far below the allowed quota of 450. A higher number of wolves in Montana, combined with extending the hunting season to 6 months, has drawn criticism from people who love wolves but who don't hunt them. Mark Cook, with the group Wolves of the Rockies, says the state's keeping so-called non-consumptive wolf supporters out of the counting process, playing to big game hunting interests instead.
And by doing this, what it's doing is it's commercializing our wildlife.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Hear us on interesting radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.